When you're in, when you're born and raised in Tioga County, Pennsylvania, and you're born and raised on a farm, the land, the contour of the land is not as conducive to farming as one would want it to be. It's up and downhill wherever you go. You either go up or you go down. There's no flat along any flat. It's you're up or down. So it makes farming very challenging, but it makes sled riding at every turn. You can sled ride. And to remember back as a kid, and even last year, sled riding is one of my favorite wintertime activities. I love to sled ride. Now the comparison of what you see on the screen are two of the sleds, are two of the machines that will get you from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill. The one is the snow saucer or the disc or whatever you want to call it. That one will get you there perhaps very swiftly, perhaps upside down or whatever. And the one on the runner sled, to me, in my opinion, there is no better downhill mechanism than a runner sled. Now you got to keep your rails clean, you got to keep them waxed. Mom's candles always had about a half an inch groove through them in the wintertime, because we would sneak a candle and we would wax the runners on our sled and then put the candle back, but there always had a chunk out of the candle. There is no better downhill mechanism, in my opinion, than the runner sled. I like the runner sled because it has a steering mechanism. I have been, as a kid, we had a snowmobile guy running next to us. I've literally have ridden a runner sled for over a quarter of a mile, topping speeds of over 30 miles an hour with a runner sled. With a disc, okay, a disc you can have some fun, but normally you don't even make it to the bottom of the hill before you're upside down. You need a mechanism to steer it. You need something that steers the sled, I believe. I think the same is true in life. We need some sort of steering mechanism in life. Now, you can ride the saucer of life, and it may be fun at times, but it's going to leave you upside down most of the time with your head stuck in the snowbank. And you can try it again, and you can try it again, and you can try it again. But in my thoughts, in my experience, the saucer is not even compared to the runner sled, because the runner sled has a steering mechanism. Life needs a steering mechanism. Now, I understand that I'm preaching the Word of God, and I think that I need to say it's God that's our steering mechanism. I thank you, Captain Obvious, right? But I think there is ways that God uses in our lives to give us steering mechanisms in our life that we can navigate life on a runner sled as opposed to a disc. And I believe 20 years ago I was challenged to write a personal mission statement. And I have revisited that over the years of where am I going in life and what am I doing? God, what are you doing in my life? And I think as the professor challenged me to do that, he can remind us, this is their steering mechanism. This is what's going to steer you in life. What's God doing in your life? And a personal mission statement defines who you are as a person and identifies your purpose. It explains how you plan to pursue that purpose and why it matters so much to you. Now, you can live life and just live it on a saucer, or you can have some sort of thought, God, what are you doing in my life? And how are you going to get me to the bottom of this life? Where are you going to take me? How are you going to get me there? How have you wired me? What have you done in my life? And I think that's the way God uses to steer us through life. How are you wired? And if you're working through a personal mission statement, people will ask you questions similar to the ones on the screen. They'll ask you stuff like this. Push the button, please. What is important? Now, these are not my questions. These are questions that were given to me. These are questions you can look up on the internet. What is important to you? Are you going to write a personal mission statement? Hang with me. We're going to get to where we're going, okay? We're steering down the bottom of the hill. This is necessary. I believe to convince me that I need something in my life to steer me. And God's doing that over and over and over and over in my life. And he did that this past week. What's important? Where do I want to go? What does the best look like for me? And how do I want to act? And what kind of legacy do I want to leave? Do we think about those things, or are we just kind of on a saucer going through life? Lately, I have been working through this again in my life and just saying, God, where am I? Let me revisit where you have led me so far. Let me revisit what's important. Let me revisit some of these things in life. So, because I don't want to ride a saucer. Although it's fun, my head ends up in the snow. I want to steer through this life. And so God has got me on this mission again to rethink and to say, what am I doing? Where am I going? But he's got me on a mission to just these words that I want to describe my life, or that I want to guide me. What are the words? And it's kind of weird. I know I've been from sleds to personal mission statements to words. Hang with me. I think it's going to make sense. Sadly enough, it makes all sense in here. But I want to have fun in life. And I want to accomplish the ride that God has for me. And I don't want the weather to stop me from riding. And I don't want just to end up with snow in my shirt or my head in the snowbank. I want to navigate this journey God's got me on. And so I want to get on a runner sled with a steering mechanism. And God says, revisit this on a regular basis, and I do. And I revisit, where am I at? What am I doing? What's God doing in my life? And just in this season of my life, he's got me listing words. If I could just challenge you, what would be the 3 to 5 words that you would want to describe your life? And we come across pretty quickly with those words, but then ponder those words. If that's the only 3 to 5 words that you could have that would describe you, what would they be? And I know we're in church, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Okay, I got that. And so he's got me on a journey of being guided just by some words. And so I've been processing this and writing it in my thinking book that I have at home. And I've just been writing this list of words that I think I would like somebody to speak at my funeral and say, he was this, this, and this. Or these words are guiding me. And so as I've been writing that down and processing that, I woke up this past week with a word on my heart and on my head and in my hands. And it was just one word. And I had been thinking about the rest of December would look like as a teaching from this platform. And I've been thinking about, God, where do you got me? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to navigate life? How do you want me to steer? What's the steering mechanism? And what are the words that you're bringing to my life that I want to describe me? Because if I can really have those words in my heart, I believe that they will guide me. They are the steering mechanism, because I have to ask myself, is this me? Is this me? Is this doing this again? And is this steering me down? Am I making sense today? And so I woke up the other morning with the word generosity on my tongue. All that just to get to the word generosity. But listen, if I have to go through that, so do you. I got through that. God took me on that journey to come and put generosity in my hands this week. He put generosity in my heart, and I wrote generosity in my book. I don't know yet. I just got a word. I just got one word from God, generosity. What do I do with that word, God? What do I do? How do I process that? How do I come to this understanding of what it means? And so I began this journey to understand generosity. And I'm not the best English guy around writing sentences and understanding tenses of words. And I have saw and I've seen. I get things backwards and upside down. And so I started to look at what generosity means, and I realized that generosity is a noun. It says it's a noun, and I can remember that a noun is a person, place, or thing. So generosity is a thing. because it's, I don't think it's a person. And I don't know if it's a place, but it seemed to register as a thing to me. So God has given me a generosity. It was a thing. And so now I need to unpack that some more. And so I went, generous. And generous is the adjective. I said, well, now I'm really confusing myself because that describes a noun, right? So now I have generosity. That's not helping me understand what it is. Why do I have this word in my heart, in my hands? And, well, how is it going to be used to steer me in life? Do I want the word generosity to be one of my steering mechanisms in life? I don't even know. I don't even know what it is yet. All I know is that it's a noun. It's generous generosity. And so I began to continue to unpack it to see what it was. And so I typed in this. What is the verb for generosity? Because that's what you do. And I love the response with the little pink hippo. This is the picture right off the internet. This is what it says. We do not know any verb directly derived from the word generosity. So God, you gave me a thing, and you gave me a thing to describe that thing, but I don't know what that thing is. And if I'm not making sense, I'm good, because I'm not making sense in my own brain, but I need to know what a generosity is. And there is no verb form of generosity. That's what it's saying. There is no verb form of generosity. So God, you gave me a thing. Thank you for a thing. I don't know what to do with the thing. And it goes on to say, and I don't know if you can read it or not, it goes on to say, however, we believe that you are looking for the verb give. If you're looking for the activity that comes out of the noun, generosity, you're looking for the verb give. So your generosity is giving. Has something to do with giving. So I'm continuing to unpack. What does it mean to unpack what it means to have this generous? The generosity is generous giving. Generosity is generous giving. So I thought, I want to understand that some more. So I began just to think. I pushed away from my desk and put my foot up a little bit, and I said, God, what does that mean? And he began to unpack some of the thinking here. Just push the button, please. Generosity is not a wallet thing. It's a heart thing. And I don't have any backing. This is just something God laid on my heart. If God lays a word on my heart that he possibly is going to guide my life, that he's going to help me understand it. Now, we're going to go to the Word of God here pretty soon, because he really unpacked it for me. And so I'm asking us this morning, is it okay if God puts generosity in your steering mechanism? Now, that's generous giving. We're going to unpack that some more, but listen, it's not a wallet thing, it's a heart thing. Generosity has nothing to do with your wallet. And a healthy heart, not a healthy wallet, produces generosity. A healthy heart, not a healthy wallet, produces generosity. Being forced to give is not generosity. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about forcing people to give. I'm not talking about a wallet thing, I'm talking about a heart thing. Do you want to go? Do you want to go? Or should I just close in prayer now? Because I kind of want to go at times. Because I don't know if I want to generously give. Now, it seems right? I'm in church and God's doing something and that's what I want to be. Really? Really, do you want to be a generous giver? They have shows on hoarders. But they don't have shows on generous givers. Are we sure? Just let me be honest with myself. I got to look in the mirror. Am I sure I want to be a generous giver? It's about a heart, not a wallet. And it's not about being forced to give. It's not generosity. And continue to think through that. And buying someone's loyalty is not generosity. So don't try to buy somebody's loyalty and think you're being generous, because you're not. It's not generosity. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to buy each other's loyalty. Holding a provision that you have given as a bargaining chip is not generosity. Being easily conned is not generosity. I've learned that in my life. Because I've been conned over and over and over. I have sucker written across my face many times. I'm on my way to Zimbabwe from Ohio, and my alternators broke down in my car, and you know I'm on my way there from Missouri. I said, what are you doing in Pennsylvania? There's no straight shot here. Well, my car's broke down, and always I'm putting gas in her car. I'm a sucker, okay? I can be an easy con, and God says that's not what I'm talking about. I don't want you to be an easy con. I want you to be generous. Generosity does not mean you have great means, and generosity does not mean you're a charity case. And generosity, grace, mercy, compassion, love are predecessors to generosity. And so I included it in my mission words. Because I'm thinking that I want to be generous. I don't want to be forced to give. And I don't want to be an easy con. And I am not a man of great means. And God says that's all has nothing to do with generosity. So now he's reeling me in. He just is. I just got to be honest. He's reeling me in. I think I want to be generous. I think I want to be generous. I think I want to be generous. And so I continue to unpack it into scriptures, and I ended up in Proverbs like this. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow when you have it with you today. If you got the means, the next verse says, if you got it with you today and you're not doing it, you're not generous. And then I ended up in the next proverb said this, a generous man will prosper. He will refreshes others, will himself be refreshed. And now I'm really hooked. I really am. Because now I can refresh someone and be refreshed at the same time. Go with me here. Give me some leeway. I think I want to be generous. I think I want this word in my mission words. I think I want this word to guide my life. I think that I want this word to be part of my steering mechanism. I think this word is jumping to the top five as I study it. I don't want to be forced to give, and I don't want to be conned. God says, you're good. That's not generous. I'll protect you from that. But are you willing to be used to refresh someone else? Now, that seems very interesting to me. And as a matter of fact, when you refresh someone else, you too will be refreshed. So generosity now is really climbing to the top of my list. I want to be generous. And so I continue to seek God in the Word and say, God, what does that mean? I want to know more about that. And to be honest, I ended up in Philippians chapter 4. And that passage is just dripping with generosity. Generosity is dripping out of this passage. And I couldn't get out of this passage. I couldn't come out of my office. I was so intrigued by what was going on in Philippians 4 that I was hooked. I want to be generous. I've come to the conclusion. I want to be generous. I don't want to be conned. I don't want to be forced. And I don't want to be used to think I can buy somebody's loyalty. I want to be generous. So just let me quickly go down through just what I've learned. And just so you know, I'm trying to buckle into about 15 minutes here, 12 to 15 minutes, what God drilled into my head in 30 hours this week. Because I swam around in that passage over and over and over and over. And when I got done, and I would jump back in, and I would swim around it in it some more. And God was moving my heart, and God was doing amazing things in my heart. And he was showing things in that passage to convince me that generosity needs to climb to the top of my mission words, my steering mechanisms. Now, granted, I need to love God. But he said, you need to be generous. You need to be generous. And so let me jump into the pool here a little bit this morning with Philippians. And I've got them as a list. Not this whole process. I don't have any Greek words. I don't have anything like that. I just kind of got what I learned from Philippians 4, 10 and following here on the word generosity. How do I be generous? Because I plan on putting that top right under loving God, at least in the top three of my mission words to steer me through life. Verse 10 says this: I rejoice greatly in the Lord. And if I could marry this all the way through, which we will, you'll see he's ending with a conclusion. He's starting with a conclusion. And what has happened from the church of Philippi, from the Philippians, what has happened has produced joy in his life. And so he starts out, this is the way I feel. We're going to see that generosity is designed to produce joy. It's produced joy in Paul. And so God says, generosity, my design of generosity is not to twist your arm until you give. Generosity is to produce joy in your life and in the lives of other people. It's a great season to produce joy. But how do I do that? Generosity will produce joy. It's designed, listen to me, it's designed to produce joy in people. Your generosity, my generous giving, and his generous giving in my time, my talents, it's just not your wallet. I'm not talking to your wallet. This is not a tithing message. This is a generosity message. It's a heart message, not a wallet message. It may include your wallet. And maybe even cost you more, it may include your time. Because most of the time I would rather give $10 than 10 hours. But he said generosity. You want generosity in your steering words? It's meant to produce joy in people. And you know, I got to get moving. I got 9 of these. From this passage of scripture, from someone who is being generous, or is generously giving and is producing something in someone else's life. He said, I want it to produce joy. Your generous giving will produce joy. And he continues in the passage, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Generosity says you thought about someone else. Does that make sense this morning? See, you can't be generous without thinking about someone else. Selfishness is an antidote to generosity. When it's about you, generous giving is not in your repertoire. It's not in your heart. Because the same parts of your heart that harbor self-centeredness is the same part where generosity fits. And you can't have two screws in the same hole. Generosity says you thought about someone else. Generosity is meant to produce joy in someone's life. I'm telling you, I want to be generous. I don't want to be an easy con. And I don't want to be forced to give. And I don't want to use giving as a bargaining chip. But I want to be generous. I greatly rejoice in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. To generosity, push the button, please. Generosity is prepared for. See, that was a new one for me. If I don't plan to be generous, then I'm going to miss out on opportunities to be generous, I think. See, just to be honest, I think we schedule our lives so full that we can't have room for anyone else in our life. And I think maybe that, do you have this, and I know some of you are in this financial peace and you're planning and your financial planning, and I think that's awesome. And I think you can get a hold of your finances. I think that's completely necessary. But I just want to make this statement. In that financial planning, you're supposed to have an emergency budget, right?
You're supposed to have an emergency fund, so you can have an emergency fund. Just so you know, I don't think that's only for your emergency. I think it's for anybody's emergency. Now, I know that the instructors are in this room, and I may be stepping on toes. I don't want to do that. But my emergency fund, our emergency fund, is not only for our emergency. It's for anybody's emergency. So I don't know if it's for my tires or for your tires, but I got an emergency fund. See, I think I want the plan to be generous. And if I don't have something in reserve, if I don't have, I'm not going to be generous, because I'm going to have the heart, and I'm going to see somebody, and I'm not going to have anything to give them or to be generous with. Does that make sense this morning?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to plan to be generous. You're going to have to plan. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to set aside this. I'm going to have a coffee can full of $1 bills or full of fives or full of 20s. I'm going to have time in my schedule that I'm just going to be generous with. I'm going to do something. I'm going to plan to be generous, because generosity, I see other people, and it produces joy in other people. I want to be generous. I don't want to be the easy con, but I want to be generous. Because what does it do in the lives of people? But you got to plan to be generous. Are you planning for it? Verse 11. I'm not saying these things, this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. God has showed me that generosity may not be supplying a life or death need. Are you good with me? You know, one of the things that Cheryl and I have started to do, and this is just to be open on some of the stuff we do. When we went out to eat this past week. Thank you for the gift card from those people that gave it to us so we could go out to eat this week. We enjoyed it so much. And the lady says, "Would you like something to drink? We'll take water. Would you like some dessert? No, thank you. You know, I feel kind of cheap." But you know what we're doing? And then I take whatever the drink would cost and whatever the dessert costs, and I give it to her in her tip. It's not meeting a life or death situation. It's just being generous. So our meal cost $20.04, and her tip was $20. I think that's a good ratio. I don't know if she had a need or not. And I don't know if people that God will put in your path will have this huge need. Oh, we got this huge need. I don't know. That doesn't have anything to do with being generous. Paul says, I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have a lot. It does, but they were generous to him. Is that making sense this morning? It doesn't matter. If I knew the need, well, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Do we see people? Do we have a heart to be generous? It doesn't matter if there's this life or death need. Now, I think we should take care of life or death needs. I get that. If your house, the furnace is out of fuel and you don't have, and it's cold outside, I think I need to make a few calls. Say, hey, I need $10. Hey, I need $10. Hey, I need $10. We got a brother or sister that needs fuel oil. I do that. Some of you got that call. But this is not tied to only that. This is being generous. Now continue. Look what he says in 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then the famous verse is this, 13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. But we never read 14. We never read verse 14 with that one. Yet! Thank you so much for being generous and sharing in my need. Thank you for seeing me. Thank you for planning that you would have it to give. Oh, I could have lived without it. And I know what it is. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I know what it is to be hungry, and I know what it is to be in great need. But thank you for giving. Wasn't a life or death situation, but you shared in my trouble. And we always stop at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. 14 says, yeah, but you can't do it alone. You need people who are generous. Their time and their talent and their finances and their interacting in your life. 14, yet it was good that you shared in my trouble, and the troubles just simply mean pressure. Thank you for sharing in my pressure. Generosity can lift a life pressure. Certainly can. But you don't have to know the, listen, stick with me. I'm almost done here. You don't have to know the life pressure before you lift the life pressure. See, it's not a wallet thing, it's a heart thing. And if God wants us to be generous, and it's the waitress that needs it, how do you know that she didn't need fuel oil? And by you tipping her $20 on a $20 ticket was helping her pay for her fuel oil. Generosity may lift the life pressure. Well, she forgot to fill up my water. Wham. You cry babies. Aren't you glad God forgave you for not filling up his water jug? Well, my steak wasn't cooked right. Stay home! And some of the Christians are biggest crybabies that I know. Are you going to be generous or not? It's not something to do with earning it. No one earns generosity. It's moved in the heart of the one giving. It's generous giving. And it may just lift the life pressure off of somebody. And you and I don't have to know the life pressure that it's lifting off of someone for God to say, be generous. Couple more here. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving. And I was like, God, what does that mean? And he says this to me, generosity, and this in the terminology in the Greek words support this. Generosity releases a spiritual blessing. Your giving and the receiving is spiritual. It's definitely tied to spiritual in that passage. Your giving physical and being released is spiritual. Your giving physical and spiritual is being released. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? No wonder it brings joy to people. No wonder it could lift the life pressure. Because it's releasing a spiritual blessing in someone's life. I think that's amazing. It's not just paying a fuel bill or whatever, or helping build a set of steps or whatever. It's lifting this pressure because it's releasing a spiritual blessing in someone's life. Isn't that amazing that you can take, just use money, you can take a $5 bill and you can release a spiritual blessing into someone's life with a $5 bill? What a trade. You can take a piece of paper with a dead president's picture on it and release a spiritual blessing into someone's life or into the environment. That's off the charts. I want to be generous. That's definitely on my mission steering my life list of words. Push the button, please. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except only you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again and again and again and again. Generosity is not an event. It's a lifestyle. Verse 17 says this. Now, not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. Just so you know what that means. Just so you know, and I'm positive of this. When we're generous, God checks it off. My son, my daughter did it. That's credited to your account. You know what you're going to do with that account someday? You're going to receive all that account and you're going to be able to lay at the feet of Jesus. He said, you're stacking up credit in the kingdom of Jesus when you are generous. Push the button, please. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied for now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. Generosity is gift giving. Are you with me? I know that that makes sense sitting here. When you give it, get your fingers off of it. You don't have to hire a detective to see where that $10 went. It's a gift. Well, they got to be held accountable. So do you. Am I making sense this morning?
Amen.
Oh man, I want to be generous. The end of 18 says that this gifts that they sent him are a fragrant offering and an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Generosity pleases God. Verse 19 is the last in this passage. And God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Generosity is endless. You're never going to run out when you're motivated by generosity. Now, if you're being conned, you might run out. If you're trying to buy somebody's allegiance, you may run out. If you're trying to be forced somebody to give, they may run out. But generosity will never run out. Last slide says this. Generosity is designed to produce joy. Generosity says that you thought about someone else. Generosity is prepared for. Generosity may not be supplying for a life or death need. Generosity, although, can lift a life pressure. Generosity releases a spiritual blessing. Generosity is an ongoing lifestyle. Generosity is credited to your account. Generosity is gift giving. Generosity pleases God. And generosity is endless. I want to be generous. Stand with me today. I'm not going to close my eyes today. You can look at me. I know you're tired of doing that, but that's right. God, help us to be generous. Help us to realize that it's not a wallet thing, it's a heart thing. Help us to realize that we can be generous, God, because you're generous. Help us to realize that it's endless. Help us to realize that it will lift someone's pressure of life. Help us to realize that it's an amazing gift that we can give. Help us to realize that it'll release a spiritual blessing into someone's life. God, on this Christmas season, may you find us being generous to those around us. In Jesus' name, have an amazing day.